Welcome. This is your host, Daisy. This is a little story called The Ghost from My Town that I had written last year, and I hope you enjoy it. It was the 1980s. I was in high school. I had just gotten my driver's license. I had been waiting on this day since I was 12 years old. The town I lived in was a strange one, and now it had gotten even more scary. It was becoming a ghost town, haunted by the ghost of the living and the dead. I was the most haunted, and I seemed to be the only one aware of it. My dad was probably even more haunted than I was. He paced up and down the hall all night, every night, with a distant stare in his eyes, and I was leaving him. That was the worst part of it all. I would have taken him with me, but he did not even know who I was anymore. My mother stayed behind, too. No one knew I was leaving. I was trying to run away from the ghost, the ones I had seen that had already passed, and the living ones that had become shells of their former selves. In the past is the only place that I could now find them, in my memories. What I did might seem selfish, but you weren't there. We would have done the same thing. Guilt was still there, though, lots of it. When I was 11, things started getting really weird. Planes were releasing toxins in a form of a mist during the night, every night, but we did not know what it was. People started dying of cancer, weird ailments, and mental illnesses plagued our town eventually. On the nightly news, they never talked about it being anywhere else or even being here. We lived near a military base in the south, so we were used to the planes flying over, but then the mist became a nightly routine. Now, 4 years later, I had to leave. I had tried to get my parents to leave when it started going bad, but they did not believe it. They believed in the good of people. So did I, but now I knew evil existed in all kinds of forms. They weren't going to leave our farm, even though all of our crops and livestock were now dead. The land had been in our family for over 100 years, so they stayed. It had only been 6 months since my best friend and boyfriend had died. My boyfriend was going to go with me. We were heading to California. We figured it would be safe there. We both worked at the local grocery store and saved $1,000. And with my babysitting money from over the years, I had another $1,000. We were at work one night cleaning up and getting ready to close the store when Derek started convulsing right in front of me. When the ambulance arrived, he was barely hanging on, but he died on the way to the hospital. He had been fine. He seemed to be the only person in this town that knew we had to get out. As I left the hospital, I looked back at his now pale face and lifeless body that had just held me the night before. I packed nothing because it was all toxic, I feared. I had my grandfather's white Cadillac convertible. It was spring, and I needed the fresh air when I could find it. How would I know when I would find it? I figured when I saw people being normal, I would know it. and then I would buy some fresh clothes and food. Then I left in a tank, cut off jeans, and black combat boots. My long blonde hair, I planned shaving it off as soon as I could and scrubbing my body till it bled. As I drove away from my home, it was dark. I almost looked back, but I could not. A few miles by, I passed Derek's house, and I looked at his window where we spent so much time. Then I saw what I thought was his silhouette in the window. Was I imagining things? He was tall and thin and had hair like James Dean. He loved him. It was the 80s and not many guys looked like that in my town. He was smart and gorgeous and caring in a way I had never known. He was supposed to be with me now. I almost drove back to his house. I had seen things before. I had had this happen before, even when things were normal. When I was little, I could see the dead, but now I didn't know if I was hallucinating or if it was really his spirit. I had to stay strong. I put in a mixtape, The Smiths, How Soon Is Now played, and I cried when Morrissey sang, "There's a club, if you'd like to go, you can meet somebody who really loves you. So you go and you stand on your own, and you leave on your own." And as that trailed off in my mind, I was thinking I had someone who really loved me. And I was standing on my own, and now leaving on my own, without my family, without Derek. Now, how fitting the lyrics were. But would I be able to survive on my own? What was in store for me? Only 16. I told myself, "Kate, you're on your own now, and you don't even know what's ahead." But I wanted to live more than I wanted to die. It was morning. I had been driving a long time, and I was in Alabama. People were out and about, so I stopped for food. I was starving. I had shopped at Kmart for clothes, a place years ago I would not be caught dead in. I needed to rest, so I found a cheap motel to stay the night. The man who checked me in asked if I was okay. I must have looked like a disaster, and my face held no real emotion, although I was crying on the inside. He gave me my room key. When I got in there, I turned on the television. No special reports. Everything seemed normal, but it was a lie. I called my house so I could tell my mom what I was doing. I did not want her to worry, and Dad was like a zombie. The phone rang a long time, no answer. I decided to call back again. My mom answered, "Mom, it's Kate." I started to try to explain where I was. When she told me, "Your father's dead," I started weeping. A deep, primal moan came out of me. "Mom, are you there?" "Kate," she said, "you killed me." I heard a gunshot go off. I'm screaming, "Mom, Mom." And then the line went dead. I had called many times back, and the phone was off the hook. I knew what had happened. My mom had just shot herself in the head while on the phone with me before saying, "Kate, you killed me." I knew I would have to stay here a few more nights now, after I took a long hour shower, before collapsing into the tub where I had started to cry. I don't know how long I sat there, holding my body tightly like a child. I was technically still a child, well, a teenager, not yet an adult, but I would be on my own now. I knew I did not want anyone finding out my age. I could be put in a foster home. I would have to do some thinking. But first, I needed to go buy some scissors and a razor. I was serious about cutting my hair. But now, I did not think it would matter if I shaved it. It would just draw attention to me, so I decided to just cut a lot of it off, because it was down, way past my back. So I just cut a little bit off past my shoulders. I looked a little bit older. I could pass for maybe 18 or 20 now. I had noticed a small library on the side of the road from the motel. I walked over. There was this one librarian, but she was very young. But that somehow made me feel better. Someone close to my age, but a little older. I checked out some books on nutrition and self-healing. And I was looking for other books when I had asked for her help. I was looking for books on how to change my identity, and I was not having much luck with it, but I also didn't want to draw attention, so I would have to find someone and buy a fake ID for starters, but beyond that, I had no idea what I was going to do. I talked to the librarian, who ended up being just an assistant. Her name was Mallory. She let me take the books. I told her I was only going to be here a few days, and I was across the street at the motel. She was a girl who had short brown hair and glasses, very studious looking. But she also had a tattoo on her wrist of a small anchor. I asked her about it. She said, "Oh, that? It means I anchor my own ship." Long story behind it, she told me. She was going to have a going away party later, but I liked to come and meet some of the locals before I left town. She gave me an address and her phone number. I said I would love to. "Where are you going?" I asked. "New York. I want to be an actress," she said. I thought, why not? I'll stop by. I was lonely and I was in shock, but was doing a really good job of acting normal, I thought. When I got back to the motel, I read my books. I would need to find some vitamins and herbs to detox my body. I was still worried I would get sick like everyone else back home, but I was not even sure why I even wanted to stay alive. No family or friends, and the guilt of my mom's suicide. My dad had died, and I had been through so much trauma, and I had left them all. I had bought a new outfit at a thrift store that I had found earlier. I bought this cute sundress that looked really cool with my new pair of black combat boots. I threw away all my old clothes. I just had to replace everything I was wearing. And I bought some makeup. I did not wear much back home, but I was trying to look older, and I knew how to apply it from watching my mother when I was younger. But I did have to buy a fashion magazine to see what looked good. I kind of looked good with makeup. What a shocker. I actually liked it. I looked in the mirror. My pale pink sundress with white trim. It looked punky with the boots, and I put on some liquid black eyeliner and red lipstick. I looked completely different, like an older, hip girl and I was ready to go. The spring of 1985, and I was going to Mallory's going away party. And then I was headed for California after, without my Derek. I needed to get this off my mind, but how? I arrived at Mallory's. I walked in a daze. She ran over and gave me a hug and introduced me to, well, everyone. There were bright pink balloons everywhere, as well as yellow. It felt like it could be a baby shower back home. Around 20 people were there. Her quaint home was an older 1920 era house. I found out that Mallory was 19, not too much older than me. There was a good mix of people and age groups here. I felt pretty comfortable. I was being introduced all night to the art crowd, the burnout crowd, to the alternative crowd, to the rap, hip-hop crowd, and to the loners who had no crowd at all, and I liked all of them. At some point, I met this absolute character named Julian, who was part of the loner, non-affiliate crowd. He had light brown hair, with his hair covering much of his face. It was a little past his chin. He was skateboarding outside. He wore baggy shorts and a skater tee with Vans. He said, "Who are you?" I said, "Oh, me? No one, really." He laughed. "Just a girl passing through?" "Oh, yeah? Where are you headed?" he said. "To California." "Oh. Well, me and Mal are leaving soon for New York." "Oh, yeah. She told me she was going. Are you two together?" "Ha," he said, "no. She's my sister." "What are you going to do there?" "I don't know. Just following Mal. I'm the younger brother." "How old are you?" 19. Fraternal twins. She was born first. Then he asked, "Do you want a beer?" I said, "Sure." As I drank, I became tipsy pretty fast. I felt like I could confide in Julian just a smidge. "Why California?" he asked. "Long story," I slurred out. "But Derek's not coming." "Who's Derek?" "Oh, him? Just my dead boyfriend." What? "Yeah, for another time. I have no real reason to go there specifically, I guess, anymore. I'm on my own." "Do you know where I can get a fake ID?" "Why?" he said. "Do you like to drink?" "Well, it's not bad. But no, I need a job at some point, and I just turned 16. My family's dead. I'm alone. Please don't ask me anything else." "Are you on the run?" he said. "As long as you did not murder your family or boyfriend, then we have a deal." I laughed, and then I stopped, because even though my mom pulled the trigger, it was still my fault. So I told him, "You and Mal are my only friends now." He said, "Let me guess, all of your friends died too?" He laughed. I gave him a look. No answer. When I started to cry, "I'm sorry. Look, I know you don't want to talk about it now, and I may never see you again, but if I do, I'm here. That's great, dude. Thanks. I got up to tell Mallory goodbye. When I walked in the kitchen, she was standing there making more spiked punch. I said, "Hey, Mal, I'm going." "What? Where did you go?" "Well, I met your brother." She hugged me again. "Isn't Julian great?" "Well, yeah. He's pretty cool." "I know you're going to California and everything, but how would you feel going to New York with me and Julian instead? We could use the company and a roommate." Why me?" "Because I believe you showed up at the right time, and it does not suck that you are chill. Also, I think you may have been through more than we have." "It's that obvious," I said. And she said, "I know trauma when I see it, not to mention how many teenagers are driving themselves to California for reasons unknown." "I get your point, and I like you guys a lot too. But will it be okay with your bro?" "Oh yeah. And I'm glad you met. He's a loner, but a loner with a few good friends." I can totally relate to that statement at this time in my life. "Okay," I said, "when are we leaving?" "Really?" she said. "Yep. Sunday night." My grandpa's caddy was in good shape, so I said, "I was going to drive to Cali anyways. I'll just drive us." They were stoked. I was so glad to leave the hotel, or actually, really run-down motel. I wondered if I actually had a future. I felt a little optimistic, which immediately made me not be. Julian was able to get me a fake ID, a birth certificate, a social security card, somehow. "Where are we going to be staying?" I said as I was driving. "Have you ever heard of the Chelsea Hotel?" "You mean where Sid and Nancy stayed? And Nancy died? That Chelsea Hotel?" I said. Mallory said, "Yes, before you say anything else, we can pretty much get a deal there. It's really the only place we can afford. Plus, it has a lot of artists that live there." "Yeah, but I'm not really an artist," I said. "I was thinking you could do some modeling or wait tables." "Well, I'm clumsy." "I'm pretty sure you need poise to do either and model. I'm just not model material." "Julian," Mallory said, "is Kate model material?" He looked up at me with a half smile. "Okay, fine," I said, considering anyone would take me. "What is Julian going to do?" I asked. "Well, apart from selling some Mary Jane, I'm hoping to work the downtown alternative underground club scene." "It's like Andy Warhol all over again," Mallory said. "We can get paid to party." "Oh, okay, guys. We will see. I'm a little scared now. I'm just not used to drinking, and I refuse to do any drugs, just so you know. But I can pretend very well. And I might be better at acting," I thought to myself, "than modeling." After all that had happened, I knew I was a pretty good actor. I was really scared, though. What if New York had been hit with what my small town had been and they were hiding it? Then I would have to tell Mal and Julian the unbelievable truth, that's what scared me more than anything. That I would be alone again. No one would possibly believe it. Well, New York, here we come. To be continued, so stay tuned for more The Ghost of My Town.